people into the right. We're going to start tonight right on time. So people might be coming in, trickling in as we're worshiping, but that'll be kind of nice, huh? As they're entering in, they'll just hear us all praising Jesus and be able to join right in. So did you guys have a good day today? Everybody doing well? I have to say that I am an aunt now. And so that's like, I know, it's amazing. I didn't know it would be this amazing. And every day my sister calls me and gives me pictures of my nephew. And today it was the biggest highlight because someone said without me prompting, you know, Luke does look a little bit like your dad, but he kind of looks like Jamie. I'm like, yeah! My sister called me all the way from Michigan just to say, he kind of looks like you, sis. I'm like, thanks, that's so sweet. But it reminded me just me being excited about my nephew and just knowing that he's a part of me through my sister, how we're a part of God and how he delights in his children. And I just sat there going, man, isn't that so awesome to know that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looks down on his daughters and he goes, she's mine. And he just delights in us. He's so worthy of our praise this evening. So I invite you, why don't we stand? We're going to pray and we're just going to enter into his presence. Lord Jesus, we love you because you first loved us. And Lord, we right now just desire to cast our cares at your feet and to enter into your presence, Lord, into the fullness of your joy. Your joy is our strength, Lord. Your mercy endures. God, we bless your name this evening and we pray, Lord, that you would inhabit the praises of your people, that you would be enthroned on our praise tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We're so excited, Lord, to draw near to you, Lord, and know, God, that you're drawing near to us. So, Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes, Lord, that we would see you tonight. Lord, that you'd continue to be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Welcome. Everyone can take a seat. First of all, it's just exciting just to be up here and welcoming all of you. My name is Debbie, and officially I want to welcome you from the Women's Ministry of Calvary Vista. And just let you know that even though maybe we may not know all of your names and your faces, but each one of you have been prayed for. Geez, over the last several months, probably since about summertime. So each of you are here because the Lord wanted you to be here, and that's an exciting thing. We have a great session, a great Bible study ahead. It's Love in Action. There's going to be the study that's in our book, and we've added a couple extra topical studies that we're going to be added into that. So just hold on, we're gonna just have a great, great time. So just to kind of, I wanna ask, is there anybody new that has never been to a Bible study here at Calvary Vista? Wow, a lot of women. So, and then also too, if there's any of you that haven't signed up, when we're all finished, before we're dismissed, you can meet out in the lobby and we can put you in a group. Just kind of give you an idea of the flow of the way tonight is going to be. In a little bit, we're going to have a teacher come up, and I'll talk about her after a little bit. But we'll have a time here, and then we will have all of our leaders and assistants come up. We'll introduce them. You have a sheet that tells you what group you're in, and they'll tell you what rooms, and then they'll dismiss. And then you'll actually have group time to meet in your actual groups. So that'll be exciting for you. I want to just mention one thing. It's never too early. It's January, but mark your calendars for April. It's 25th, 26th, and 27th for our women's retreat. So I know you can start putting away. We'll probably have signups in a couple months, but I just wanted you guys to get that on your calendar. It's just an awesome time. A couple things just for facility-wise. The only doors that you need, that you will be allowed, well, not allowed, but I'm asking you to do, is to go out the main doors. Like, there's a group that's meeting in this back corner. Please, for security reasons, don't go out that back door. We have gentlemen that have volunteered their time to actually be out in the parking lot. So even when we're dismissed and you're out there, don't linger out in the parking lot. It's not really a safe place to be. Don't use these back doors or the side doors. The only doors you should really exit out are those main doors. And then I'm going to ask for another thing, that we need some volunteers for men to be in the parking lot. So maybe tonight, husbands, brothers, friends, ask if they want to volunteer. They can just maybe do it one or two times. We're meeting January to the end of March. If your husband or brother, or has to be male, would like to help with the parking lot ministry just for this Bible study on Monday night, you can call the church office, ask for Steve Henschel, and he will connect them up. So if you guys want to just write Steve's name down, but just really pray about that, because right now we have coverage for like the next two nights and next two meetings, and we really want to have that men out there. We don't want the ladies to go out to their cars without having those guys. So pray about it. Ask your husbands. They don't have to do it every time. Maybe just once, twice. Oh, let's see. We have an opportunity after each of the prayer, after each of the studies, when we're in this time, we have a prayer team that will always be available. And I'm going to have them stand up. There's like four ladies. Prayer team, you want to just stand up? They will always be, after the teacher is done and before we're dismissed to the groups, they will be up on these sides. If you need prayer, please, don't worry about being late to your group. Come and spend time with these women. They have, that is the ministry they've been called to, so use them. So don't go to your group if you're burdened, you need. Spend time with these ladies, and we'll make mention of, you know, if you need prayer, but it'll be on the side. And typically, like I said, it'll be just before we're dismissed to the groups. Well, it's my pleasure, as it is every time, to introduce our speaker. She's going to be our teacher throughout the study. Her name is Denise Salvato. And I want to just tell you a little bit about Denise. In case there are some new ladies, Denise is married to Rob Salvato, our senior pastor. She has three beautiful kids. She loves the Lord with all her heart, her mind, and her soul, and she loves the Word, and she loves to teach, and she loves worship. So without anything else, Denise Salvato.
Hey, ladies. Well, I will say, I don't know if I love to teach, because the Lord's calling me and equipping me, and but I want you to know I'm always like so nervous up here, and it's just the Lord and His faithfulness. Rob and I, it's Rob's day off on Mondays, and we still had a couple of returns to do from Christmas. Anyone else still have returns to do? Because I hate shopping, so I'm kind of, I need Rob. So we went out today, this morning, real quick, and so we had to do a return at the mall, and we stopped in a store, and I found this shirt. Until my son, Aaron, who's 18, saw me on my way out the door and says, "Wow, Mom, You look like you're on the way to a 60s revival." So he put me in my place. So with that, would you turn with me to 1 John? 1 John, a little letter right toward the end of the Bible. And I'll go ahead and pray while you're turning there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we're here tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your presence and the power of your Spirit. And I thank you for every single woman that's here tonight, Lord, that's hungering and thirsting for you. And Lord, you are faithful. You promise that when we seek you diligently, when we seek you with all our heart, that we will find you. And so, Lord, we anticipate great things this year. Lord, we anticipate you working a deep and sweet work in each of our lives, Lord. May we just surrender over to all that you have, Lord, in our personal lives through the Word, in the relationships that are formed through the Bible study. Lord, we want to glorify you, and so we look to you and we thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read the first four verses of 1 John. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. You know, we live in a society that has really redefined Christianity and Jesus Christ. It's kind of a one-size-fits-all Christianity that the world has come to design. I mean, it's even amazing within even the word Christian, you hear so many different terms being used out there. There's the born-again evangelical, which is supposed to be the believer who believes in Jesus Christ for salvation and eternal life, who accepts most, hopefully all, but some just most, of the Bible teachings as accurate and authoritative. We've got non-evangelical born-again Christians. Now, these ones, I guess, are ones that believe in Jesus for salvation through grace, but who do not believe in various core doctrines taught in the Bible. We have what they call, notional or notional Christians. That was a new one for me. These are people who consider themselves to be Christian, but do not claim that they know their eternal destiny. They have no assurance of that. And usually they do not embrace all the doctrine in the Bible. We have charismatic, we have Pentecostal, we have conservative, we have right-wing, liberal, traditional, Jesus freaks. I mean, we could go on and on and on of all these different names of what Christianity is. And what's really staggering about that is that of those in America who profess to be Christians, there's only 1/3 who actually believe that the Bible is to be taken literally, that it's truth, that it's the inherent word of God. That is staggering to me. And of course, that is why we have the problems we do today in how the world sees Christianity. There is so much false teaching and false doctrine within the church. The lines have been blurred. There's tolerance. There's this whole new open mindset that's being preached. There's confusion, doubt, hypocrisy, sin. And sadly, many who profess Christianity look more like the world rather than like Christ, which is really what Christian means, is to be Christ-like. But you know what? This is not a new problem that's just in our world today, and we need to take heart in that. It was also happening back here when John penned this letter. At the time that this letter was written, Christianity and God's word and who Jesus Christ really was under attack. It had been approximately 60 years since the death and resurrection of Jesus. Many of the eyewitnesses that saw him and saw his miracles have now passed away. There's this new generation out there that is, you know, wondering and very vulnerable. The false teachers and doctrines were prevalent, and they were causing this division and confusion and taking away or adding to the word of God. And so the author here, John, who was one of the 12 disciples, and at the time that this letter was written, he was the last living eyewitness out of the 12 disciples. Okay, so he's very old, very well seasoned, walked the walk with his Lord Jesus, pastored a church, just had a real heart for the Lord. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in essence, he takes the stand and defends the truth. John's going to state in this letter the facts, and he strongly disputes the lies. You see, John knew very well who was behind this deception that was taking place, and that the battle wasn't against man, that it's spiritual, it's satanic. He states at the end of this letter in chapter 5, verse 19, that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. He was so aware that this was satanic, this was demonic, that Satan is the father of lies, and his goal is to steal, kill, and destroy the message of the gospel, the truth of who Jesus is. And so John says, hey, listen up. Listen to me. Don't listen to the lies and the deception. I've seen Jesus with my own eyes. I've touched him. I've felt him. I've heard his voice. I knew him then, before the death and resurrection of Jesus, and I still know him now. I have a living, breathing, personal relationship with him. And so in other words, Christian faith is not simply based upon ideas or doctrinal statements. Christianity rests upon great facts. It's the acts of a human being in history. It really did happen. And that's why becoming a Christian is not simply a matter of joining a church or believing a certain creed or signing a doctrinal statement or being baptized as an infant or any of the other things that so many are taught. Becoming a Christian is to be related to a person, the person of Jesus Christ. You know, all of us are related to someone, aren't we? We have a family line, a bloodline. Our children are related to us as parents and parents to their children. Why? Because we share the same life. And that is what makes a Christian, to share the life of God by the relationship to the person of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. So at the close of this letter, John tells us that he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. It's that simple. But you know, this is the point to which there's so much objection to Christianity. It's where the objections are ultimately directed, is at this very truth, that you don't have life unless you have the Son. And the forces which seek to overthrow Christian faith today try to undermine our confidence in the facts of Scripture. Is it really true? The historical truths about Jesus who appeared in time. And so John's saying here in this letter, listen, we felt the beating of his human heart. We heard the heartbeat of God. We have had contact with the very life of God. Did you notice there in verse 1 that John refers to Jesus as the Word of Life? The Word of Life. I had an interesting thing happen to me last week. Actually, it was the highlight of beginning the year 2008 for me, because I am not one of those bold people that just go around witnessing to people. It's not usually how the Lord uses me in that. It's usually more one-on-one, getting to know somebody, you know, and then just sharing and having that kind of impact. But I went to Ralph's after church 2 Sundays ago, and I'm having sandwiches made, and it was the day that there was that huge rainstorm. Do you remember that coming down? I mean, it was just pouring on the store, and everybody's like running out to go see what's going on out there, and it's hailing, and so the girl behind the counter was so excited, and I said, well, go ahead and go out there and see it, you know, because she's like, oh, it reminds me of Oregon. I'm like, oh, really? I was from Oregon. So when she came back in, we started talking, and we had so many just things that it was just a sweet conversation. And it got around to, I asked her if she had gone home for any of the holidays. And she ended up sharing with me about that her father had just passed away in September. So she'd been there in September. And it was kind of one of those moments where I had a decision, because it's kind of awkward. She's trying to make sandwiches. We're having this conversation that's getting kind of, you know, intense. And I'm feeling the Holy Spirit say something. And I'm like, finally I just did. I was like, well, I'm just going to. And so I just started asking her if she had a faith in Jesus Christ. And it was, you guys, this was so amazing. She says to me, well, you know, since my dad's death, it has definitely made me want to know God. And she says, you know, I've heard about, you know, the born again thing, that if I pray and ask Jesus into my heart, that he'll forget. She's saying all this, okay? And I'm just sitting there. she knows the whole gospel message. And I'm like, mm-hmm. And she goes, so you know what? I just need to get saved. And I said, you know, you're right. And I told her, and you know what? You don't need to go to a church to say that prayer. You can pray that prayer at any time and in faith, and the Lord will come into your heart. And I said, but by the way, have you ever heard of Calvary Chapel? And So it was so cool. I said, I'll be back. I'm going to go get a bulletin. And I couldn't find a bulletin. So I just wrote her a little note. But I just put in it, as I left her my name and phone number, and I pray for her, her name's being saved, or that she already gave her life to the Lord. But I just wrote in that, you know, I said, it's when you give your heart to Jesus that life really begins. And, you know, it just reminded me when I read this, you know, he's the word of life. God is so good. So pray for Brianne. So that was my highlight of 2008 already. But Jesus is the word of life. In the Bible that you're holding tonight, it's the word of life. Do you believe it? Every verse, every word, that it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. We need to treat it like the very air that we breathe. And also note, did you notice the very first thing that John says here? The prologue, that which was from the beginning. What does that remind you of? What other letter? Genesis, in the beginning, God created, and what other one? And John, which also John wrote, the Gospel of John. And we know that he begins that in the very same way. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And he goes on to say in verse 14 of John chapter 1 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John, he says that this life, it's going to bring us into fellowship with one another. And that's going to be, you're going to see as we go through John, one of the themes. There's a theme of love, there's a theme of fellowship. We're going to talk more about fellowship next week, but it's so intriguing, it's so supernatural when you really think about fellowship, because it's having a oneness and being in common. And, you know, it's so amazing how through Jesus that not only are we related to one another, we become the family of God, but we can relate to one another. And that's a God thing, isn't it? I mean, it's pretty amazing how that works. And like I said, we'll talk about that more next week. But Jesus is our common denominator. And that is one of the reasons why we break up into groups during our Bible study at the end of it, is so that you can fellowship. We long for that. We need that. We need that connection. And so I want to really encourage you that, you know, for some of us, it's a struggle. I don't mind sitting in a group. I like to listen, but I don't like to be told to talk. So I identify with a lot of women. It's not my comfort zone at all. So I want to encourage you, though, because God is faithful. And if we are diligent and we let down our walls and we become vulnerable, how sweet that is. And so if you're go to group tonight and you're kind of checking everyone out and you're like, oh, I can't really relate to them. Wrong. You can relate because we're one in Christ. We have fellowship with one another. So I want to encourage you in that. I lost my place. You know, so John tells us that we have fellowship with one another, but he doesn't stop there. He tells us that our fellowship truly is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus. In other words, intimacy, like the relationship you have with your best friend, where you share your heart, where you share your secrets, where you become vulnerable. You know, Jesus told his disciples in John 15, right before he was going to be crucified, in one of his final time that he spent with the disciples that he loved so much, he says, I have not called you servants, but I have called you friends. That's John 15:15. And when he shared this, it was in context with when he was attempting to impart to them the secrets of abundant life. And God does this in our lives. As we fellowship with him, there's intimacy. As we grow in our relationship, we discover that our eyes are continually being opened to new things, aren't they? And he speaks to us about ourselves and about others and about life. And we find that if our horizontal fellowship is struggling, usually the problem begins with the vertical fellowship. And John will talk a lot about that in this book. And most importantly, God reveals more of himself to us. Are you excited about that? The sweet fellowship that you're going to have with one another and the fellowship that you're going to have with the Lord Jesus. As we read and study the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, light is going to be shed on some very practical issues. I want to warn you, you're going to be convicted about some things. Conviction is good. We're going to be exhorted. We are going to be challenged. Are we ready for it? Yes, we are ready for it. It's good. And remember that John is not writing to condemn us. Not at all. As a matter of fact, John actually states four reasons why he wrote this letter. Four reasons he gives. The first one is in verse 4, and these things we write to you that your joy may be full, or that it may be complete. The second reason why John writes this to us is chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. And John's going to deal with the practical instruction about victory over sin so that we don't have that issue of guilt that robs us of our joy. And so we're going to talk about that. He's going to deal with that issue. The third reason why he writes this is chapter 2, verse 26. And it says, these things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So we see here the heart of John that wants to protect us. He wants to bring instruction so that we're not deceived by the enemy. And the fourth reason why he writes this letter is found in chapter 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So we see here that he wants us to have full assurance and confidence of our faith, of our Christianity, of our walk, and the freedom that is found in Christ. One of the things you're going to see, I want you to pay attention over the next few weeks as you read through here. One thing that John does that I absolutely love is he makes a statement, and he actually makes it 15 times. So be watching for him. See if you can find all 15. And the statement is, by this we know. By this we know. And John continually will do that. In other words, I want you to know with absolute certainty. And I'm going to tell you what those, don't try and write them down. You're going to look for them on your own in your study, but just listen up for a minute. This is amazing, what John wants us to get and to know. He's going to tell us how we can know that we know him, how we can know that we are in him, how we can know we shall be like him, how we can know that we passed from death to life, how we can know that we know what love is, how we can know that we are of the truth, how we can know that he abides in us, how we can know the difference between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, how we can know we abide in him and he in us, how we can know we love the children of God, how we can know he hears us and answers us, how we can know that whoever is born of God does not sin, how we can know we are of God, and how we can know we are in the last days. So I want you to pay attention to those. Just the assurance that John wants us to have here is just awesome. Ladies, this letter, as well as 2 John and 3 John, they're short, but boy, they're packed with some powerful truths. Practical application. I want to encourage you to stay on course. Be diligent in your Bible study. Okay? May your fellowship with him be sweet and effective. May your eyes be on him, your ears attentive to him, and his words the very life that you breathe. And there may be some in this room, maybe you were invited by a neighbor or a friend, or this is your first time to Bible study, and you're listening to this and you're like, you know what? I don't know that I know that I know him. I don't have that fellowship that you're talking about. And you're here because you're wondering and you're hungry for the word. But this would be a great night to give your heart to Jesus Christ and start the Bible study. Scripture tells us that when we give our life to him, that our eyes are enlightened. We're given understanding to what the Bible's saying, because then we have the Holy Spirit that actually comes and lives in us and speaks to us. And so as we close in prayer before the leaders come up, and we're going to do a couple other things, I just want to give opportunities. So would everyone bow their heads, close their eyes, and if there's anyone here this evening that you would say, you know what, I don't know Jesus, the way you're speaking of, the way the word speaks of. And I don't have confidence of my salvation. But tonight, I want to recognize that. I want to admit it. And I just want to pray and ask the Lord into my heart. Is there anyone here that's in that place? Don't be shy or nervous. I'm the only one seeing you. But is there anyone here that would just say, would you pray for me to give my heart to Jesus? Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? Father, I thank you for this sister, Lord, who's right now, Lord, just admitting, Lord, her desire for you and stepping out of faith and saying, I want to know you. I want to know your son. And so, Lord, I pray that this gal here, Lord, would just put her faith and her trust in you. Just in the quietness of your heart, you can repeat what I'm going to pray out loud, and you can repeat it in your heart. Dear Father, I admit that I'm a sinner and that I'm in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was crucified for my sins, and that he rose again. And I ask that you would take control. Open my eyes and my ears. Help me to grow. And help me to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that was the fastest teaching I've ever done. Are you impressed? Okay, is Debbie Bryson here? Debbie's going to come up and share with us for a couple minutes about an upcoming Russia trip and how you can be involved. So will you welcome Debbie Bryson?
Loving this talk. This is such a cute talk. But some of you weren't in the 60s. I was. I was there. I used to wear the real thing. So this is the most fun night of the whole year ever. At my time, I've been in Calvary Vista for 20 years, and first night of Bible study has traditionally been always my favorite night. And who are the newbies here? You have no idea. You have no idea how important this decision was. And I watch girls that come in that door, that there's so much sweet love in this room. I mean, the girls here, you're going to find family. So. And I'm excited to share with you that what we have here, some of you maybe drove 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes to get here. Our girls in Russia, to go to church, oftentimes they have to travel on buses in the snow, 30 below zero, to get to church. And a gathering like this is just so hard for them. Right now, it's winter, and the snow is here, and it's so freezing, and they are so isolated. So every winter, I take a team of women, and we go and minister to them, and we have retreats. And last year, all the girls, when they came, they got new pajamas. This year, they're going to get new socks, and they're going to get new slippers. We've already collected all the slippers. But I do have some things that, a little list of things, and I have found that it's so fun to give just little things. There's stickers on here, there's women's socks, there's chocolate Valentine candy. And the reason I do this is to make you feel involved. I see Cindy, Bibi, and Holly. Anybody else here that's going with me? Who else is going? Just stand up here while I finish. Holly, come on up here. You have to see their faces. Cindy, Bibi. And I just love it that the girls here in Vista can send things. And they can bless these girls. These girls are going with me. Yay! And I have a flyer with these things. I wish this picture was bigger, but there's three girls in this corner. And they're three young girls, and they were at our conference last year. And at the end of the conference, the girls came up to me and said, this was the most important weekend of our entire life. And the girl in the far corner, 2 months later, she was raped and brutally beaten and murdered. And I put her picture there because you know what? As I was getting this picture out and putting it on the flyer, I just thought, you know what? We can't change the world. We can't. But if we can be a blessing to one girl on the face of the earth, that's life-changing. That's living. It's in giving that you receive. And I just want you to see her and see that there are so many girls in this world that have, their life is sad. It's narrow. It's empty. It's lonely. But you know what? The body of Christ, just like Denise said, we're connected. And we have that we're family. And so you are family to the sisters in Russia. I have prayer cards that you can take your only, very own Russian girl home and pray for her. And then I have this wonderful flyer, Cindy B. right here. It's going to do outreaches to, we have several orphanages that we've adopted. And there's little flyers that show you pictures of the kids. And we can't take them home and change their life, but we can be a blessing to these children. So I've got a table set up. And if you want to bring things, you can bring them here. Just mark with a big note that says Russia, and I need to have them by the first week in February. So, is Jeannie Combs here? Okay.
Come back here. Where are you going? He's going to pray. Let's pray for the team going to Russia.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you rejoicing as sisters in you, Lord. We thank you for the lady here tonight, God, that just got grafted into our family and just made irrevocably forever part of us, Lord. And God, we do think of these gals on the other side of the world that love you like we do and that need you like we do. And Lord, their lives are so different. And out of our abundance, Lord, we want to give. We want to give our love. We want to give our prayers. We want to give of our resources to them. We want to minister to them like they were in this room with us, Lord. So reveal to each one of us what you might have us to do. And God, I do pray for Debbie and her team. I pray that you would anoint them with a fresh anointing, Lord, for the work that you've called them to, that you'd give them traveling mercies and meet them with every provision, that you just put your very word on their tongue to speak to those ladies, and they would know you like you were right there in that room with them, Lord, because you are. And we thank you, God, for your love and your care, for the provision and the opportunity to just minister to these women. Go before these gals as they eagerly await to hear the awesome report back from them of what you do in and through them among our sisters in Russia this year. And we just commit all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
And then is Gina here? Gina Combs? Are you here? Is she here? She's not here. Okay, well, I just want to, it's been neat. Some of our missionary families have been around because of the holidays. Gina and her husband, Lauren, who are in Bridlington, England, are here right now, going back soon. Margie Stewart, is Athena here? No, they're probably visiting other people and enjoying that time. Christy Hall was here, they're in Hawaii. I might be missing some other gals, but I was gonna have Debbie. Where are you, Debbie? I know you already sat back down. Will you come back and just pray for the missionary gals? It's kind of hard. They come here. Rebecca, I'm sorry, McKay and Phil, who are in Costa Rica. And, you know, they just get refreshed and see family and encouraged, and it's a little difficult when they head back. They're excited, but it's still a little difficult. So we want to just lift them up to the Lord.
On the side are our sisters that are going back to the mission field, God, and I thank you for this time that they've been with us, and Lord, I pray that sometimes on Sundays we would just go out to the hall and maybe lay our hand on a couple of our missionary girls especially, and we just get lonely sometimes. We get overwhelmed. We feel inadequate, and I know all these girls go through those valleys, and Lord, we want to lift them up. God, we want to partner with them and stand beside them. And God, we pray that you put your hand upon them and anoint them, that you would give them power and wisdom and love for these people as they go and land in that country and they see the people around them, a burden for the lost, for the girls that are making sandwiches in the grocery store. and that they would just have that burden to take a minute and share that you love them. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
At this time, I want to say I'm so excited about the leadership team that the Lord has raised up this year to serve you. And we are all here to serve you. But I want to have Rosalyn Posey and Carol Goodnow come up. They're going to be overseeing the group leaders. And so they're going to share with you for a couple minutes and introduce the teams, and we'll get you going on the rest of the evening in your group. So
this is an exciting night for me, too, like it is for Debbie. I always love this coming back together, and it's great to see all of you. And I noticed a few of you I haven't seen in a while, and it's great to have everybody back, and for all the new faces, too, and you're going to love it. And we have a wonderful team this year that, like Debbie shared, that they have already been praying and preparing for three more months since the summer. And they are excited and enthusiastic and ready to serve you. And I'm going to introduce them. But first, you got the sheet, and find your name and go up from your name to the top, and that's your leader and your assistant leader, and then you can put a face to the name, and then also the room numbers. The first hall is the 100s and the fellowship hall, if you go out that to the left. The second hall is the 200 room, and then the foyer, you would just meet right back there in that corner. So we'll start with this side. We have Sandy Lemus and Charlene Parker. And then here we have Kathy Boyer and Cerise Borelli. And then we have here Janine Henschel and Una Campbell. And here we have Neva Rutzel and Karen Robbins. And then we have Janine Maybon and Rita Finkelman. And then Lisa Amaviska and Candy Brown. And then last but not least is Paz Rico and Rose Ramos. Right. And, so, and still, just like Debbie said, stop by the table and you're dismissed.
Being disobedient, girls. Yeah, okay, let me clarify that. Did you hear that okay? So everyone, if you are still confused on who your leader assistant is, you can go in the back and they'll help you. But what we're going to do now that's a little different than, you know, we're giving you a little more time this evening to actually go to your group, get acquainted with each other, and just have fun and fellowship. And so, okay, so God bless you, and we'll see you next week. Bye.